416 here at KNX. After taking a couple weeks to dig deep into the issues behind the protests that have been sweeping the nation, this is the time of the afternoon we return to answer your questions about the coronavirus, what you can do about it, how it spreads, how to operate now that more of us are out in the world. With us today, Tarzana MD, Dr. Michael Hertz with the Center for Integrative Medicine.
Dr. Hertz, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. There has been a lot of buzz today about a common and cheap steroid that's showing effectiveness with people who are very sick with COVID-19. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is a drug called dexamethasone, and it's been around since the 1950s. It's a very powerful steroid. Many people are familiar with steroids because they may take them or know someone who's taken them for certain conditions like rheumatoid arthritis. You may have gotten a steroid shot into your joint, your knee, your shoulder, because it was painful. It's the same kind of thing. It's a steroid that mimics a hormone made by our adrenal glands called cortisone. And in high doses, this drug was shown to help reduce the risks of people dying who are on ventilators in hospitals with COVID-19. We think the reason that it helps is twofold. One is these people are in the fight of their lives. They need those adrenal glands pumping out tons of their own cortisol, but at some point the adrenal glands can fail and cannot make enough cortisol to keep you alive, so this dexamethasone comes in and supports them. Additionally, we also know that there's something called cytokine storm. This is the overreaction of the immune system against the virus in the lungs, and dexamethasone steroids in general help to tamp down that overactive immune system so that the patient can heal.
Yeah, because that's the thing, right? After a certain point, it's the inflammation that gets you. It's not even the virus anymore. It's your body's reaction to it. So we've got a question from a listener here saying, you know, even if it's not for this, but just every day, what can we do about inflammation to try and put us in a better spot?
Well, a lot of things that we do make inflammation worse, particularly with stress, number one. So learning some breathing techniques that you can YouTube, very effective. I do it every night myself to get to sleep, or if I wake up, to put myself back to sleep. Additionally, foods like processed foods, potato chips, junk food, fast food, foods that have a lot of chemicals in them. These foods are also very likely to create inflammation because they contain the wrong types of fats. Focusing more on a Mediterranean-style diet, olive oil, natural fats, avocados, healthy fats like that, nuts and seeds help to reduce inflammation, as do many common foods that we eat, like onions and garlics, rosemary, oregano, berries, brightly colored vegetables. This is a time today, because COVID is continuing, for people to really focus on their health. I see this every day because I'm treating COVID patients every day. It attacks the weak and the unhealthy, and you can change that with your next meal.
Absolutely, and I heard ginger is a helpful herb out there, or root.
It's a great anti-inflammatory. It's been used for centuries in traditional Chinese medicine. You can use it as a tea. You can use it as a capsule or a supplement. Fantastic for reducing inflammation.
The mask debate is raging still in Orange County. We've been covering it today. There was a big, loud fight at the supervisors' meeting. Some people are saying, look, there are health dangers to wearing masks for some people. Would any of that outweigh the actual benefits that are out there for the rest of us to be wearing masks?
Well, initially, you know, this virus, I believe, was spread by contact. So you touched something that was contaminated, you touched your face or your food, and you could get COVID. Now, I think some of that has changed. Because people are wearing masks, there's less contaminated surfaces because there's less of these respiratory droplets being spread by people who aren't wearing masks, as the respiratory droplets are caught by the mask. So I do think that masks in places, especially when you can't do social distancing or where you are trying to be careful of spreading the virus, like in Walmarts and large big box stores and in places that sell food, for example, like the grocery stores, it's very important for people to be capturing those respiratory droplets in their masks. However, if you are exercising on a treadmill or running outside or trail hiking, a mask may actually be somewhat harmful to you because it's not letting you exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide fast enough to keep up with your metabolism.
Okay, so when you're around people, definitely you recommend definitely having that mask on.
Yes, as long as you keep it clean and you're not contaminating your hands and then touching the mask and then putting a contaminated mask over your clean face. That is the biggest problem that we have with people wearing masks. But it does reduce the spread of respiratory droplets, but not the virus, which is why even if you're in a crowded church singing at the top of your lungs with a mask, as was shown in Germany, you can still spread the virus through the viruses that leave the mask through those holes in the cotton weave and get into the air. For that, we need to be using air scrubbers, air filters, good amounts of ventilation in these churches, restaurants, gyms, malls, in order to not spread the virus from person to person.
Let's talk about gyms for a second, because we've got a lot of questions about that since they are able to reopen. Now, some people are just too nervous to go. They're saying, I don't know, there's a lot of breathing going on. Some gyms do like a little plastic bubble thing. Others are just saying, you know, we really encourage you to wear the masks and keep distance. They've closed down machines. Then there's the gyms that just offer classes, right, where everybody's in there and they're spacing you out, but those are like high intensity classes and you are breathing. So how do you feel about gyms, and would you rather go to one than the other?
The main thing to understand is that when you are talking normally at a regular voice pitch, there's very little virus that's going to be spread and be aerosolized. You still have respiratory droplets, and a mask can be helpful, or a six-foot distance can be helpful, so those respiratory droplets sort of hit the ground before they hit the person you're talking to. However, when you are breathing heavily, sneezing, coughing, singing, yelling, chanting, or, you know, exerting yourself on a treadmill, rowing bike, rowing machine, etc., you can spread up to 1,000 times more virus than you can at a normal speaking voice. So at these locations where people are unmasked, if you will, and breathing heavily because that's what they do, or singing loudly because that's what is important in that location, you have to use some other form of ventilation to ensure that there's no aerosolized respiratory droplets that hang in the air and then can spread to people if you're going to be in those locations for more than 15 minutes.
So let's
that's the key.
I'm sorry. So let's keep on this thread. We learned yesterday that half of the restaurants inspected in L.A. County were not obeying the coronavirus safety requirements. But for the ones that are, tables 6 feet apart, frequent sanitation, can we still feel safe going to them?
If there's adequate ventilation, so it's something that you need to sort of call up and ask ahead, or if restaurants put in these air filters, which is what I think they should do for, you know, a couple $100, you can put, you know, a couple on some tables that are empty anyways, and that will keep the circulation going and remove a lot of the airborne particulate matter from viruses from people who are eating without masks on. Many restaurants have very high ceilings. They have extremely effective ventilation systems, and those are where people are going to be safest. And for sure, always, you can dine at a patio outside. There's very little risk of any contamination from one table to the next, because even with a breeze, you're going to dilute that virus significantly and be unlikely to get infected.
Tarzana, Dr. Michael Hertz, Center for Integrative Medicine. Doc, thanks for talking to us again.
My pleasure.